That mid-air jumbo jet scare? Qantas says blame the engine.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Qantas says this morning that faulty engine design is likely the cause of yesterday's mid-air engine blowout. A Qantas A380 jumbo jet was forced to land after one of its Rolls-Royce engines partially exploded. It happened right after the plane took off from Singapore. The incident raised questions about the safety of the A380, which is the biggest passenger jet in the world. But now, as Marketplace's David Gurra reports, the engine maker Rolls-Royce is under the gun.
Charles Armitage is an aerospace and aviation consultant.
Engines are extremely complex things. They are watchmaking on a 10-ton scale.
He says the A380 is powered by four engines. Airlines get to pick between two manufacturers, Rolls-Royce or Engine Alliance. That's a joint venture between GE and Pratt & Whitney. It's a matter of preference more than anything else. Qantas chose Rolls-Royce for its fleet of A380s. Howard Wealdon works for BGC Partners in London.
These incidents are extremely rare. They are very serious, and they will be fully investigated.
But he says he doesn't think Rolls-Royce's reputation will be damaged. No company is exempt from engine failures. According to Wealdon, they happen every 5 or 10 years. Still, several carriers, including Qantas, decided to ground their A380s, and Rolls-Royce's stock price did take a hit. In Los Angeles, I'm David Gurra for Marketplace.
Auto industry tracker J.D. Power & Associates says last month's trucks outsold cars by the highest margin in nearly 5 years. High truck sales are seen as evidence that consumers are more willing to spend money and that small businesses want to haul more stuff. Both good signs for the economic recovery. And let's check global stocks. Asian markets soared today. Tokyo's Nikkei closed up more than 2%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 219 points to close at 11,434. The Dow last closed that high, by the way, about a week before Lehman Brothers collapsed. This morning, all eyes will be on the October unemployment number from the Labor Department. You may have missed it in yesterday's big rally on Wall Street, but bank stocks jumped especially high. That was thanks to news that the Federal Reserve might let some banks boost dividend payments to investors. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us now live from Washington with more on this. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So what will this allow the banks to do?
Well, they'll be able to cut bigger checks to their investors. A dividend is kind of like interest on your account. So say you, big investor Jeremy, you own a share of a bank. Right, you can make money two ways. The stock price goes up and you sell, or the bank gives you a share of its profits. That's a dividend. Now, we all know that the banks have been weak, and the Fed has limited their dividend payouts to protect the vital organs, which is their capital. Now we have this bit of positive news, which was first reported in the Wall Street Journal. I just spoke to Justin Urquhart Stewart at Seven Investment Management in London, and he says bigger dividends would be a sign of better health.
The economy still has a long way to go, but in order to get there, it needs to have strong banks providing facilities and finance to the economy. So if the means that they're now in are strong enough to pay dividends, then that's a positive sign for investors and also for the economy.
So a positive sign, Scott. Does this mean that banking is back, period?
Well, the reports say just the stronger banks will be allowed to boost their payouts. Many banks, we know, are still writing off their bad debts, still waiting for the housing market to peel itself off the floor, so this is just one step, but an indicator that the banks are getting back to their main jobs, which is to pump money through the economy.
Okay, Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at AllyBank.com. And by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
Earnings season continues this morning with profit reports from Beazer Homes, which reported a loss, and Toyota, which reported a profit. If there's been one pattern this earnings season, it's this. Companies that are growing are relying on sales overseas for that growth. We're going to dig into that pattern now with Ron McNeil. He heads the College of Business and Management at the University of Illinois Springfield. So he's right in the backyard of two global companies, Caterpillar and ADM. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, we've seen earnings in the last couple weeks. Merck says it now gets 18% of revenue from emerging markets. Dow Chemical, Procter & Gamble. This is obviously a trend, but why is there such growth in emerging countries and not here in the U.S.?
Well, emerging markets are coming out of very little, so their consumer markets are great. Any growth is big growth, but when you're talking about populations of 1 billion in India, 1.3 billion in China, even 300 or 400 million people in China buying more makes a huge impact.
So this is really the only way to be at this point. You've got to be a global company.
Right now, the U.S. is about, and Europe and Japan, 51% of the world's market. By 2040, it's going to be India and China is 51%. That's the prediction. Those are emerging markets to build infrastructure, bridges, highways, and a consumer market as that comes along. So you have to think globally.
Do you think it's good for us as Americans that our big companies are making their big money overseas and not here at home?
Well, they need to do both, but what if they didn't make any money abroad and only depended on the U.S. market? Think about the stock market itself. It would go down, and retirees and pension funds would lose money.
Can you survive as a small business that's just doing business in your local community anymore?
Absolutely. There's still a need for those small businesses. And the little companies find their niche. And what they're good at is being very close to the local markets. And if they're very successful and keep adapting, they become bigger companies.
Ron McNeil, Dean of the College of Business and Management at the University of Illinois Springfield, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And finally, a story that needs no punchline. A New York cop is suing for slander after he was allegedly caught racing through the streets with his lights flashing and then parking in front of Dunkin' Donuts. A city councilman saw the whole affair, took pictures of it, and reported it to news outlets. Now the cop wants $2 million from the city and the councilman for damage to his reputation. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The Haitian novelist Edwige Dantica has a new book out. It's a memoir this time about art in the middle of horrible tragedy.
Some of it is born perhaps out of struggle, but out of spirituality and a great sense of strength and resilience.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the expatriate artist at work. Next time on Marketplace, we'll have the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from American Public Media.